He's a pickup cowboy, a crying up I-35. He went and got his heart broke down in South Padre Island. Now he's driving to Sioux Falls with two bald tires. He's a pickup cowboy. He's a lowly roller. He don't need much money, living on buffalo jerky and Tupelo honey and fishing for breakfast. In the muddy Missouri, he's a pickup cowboy. Good dogs get better till they die. Till they die. Dakota with his long blonde hair and his long blue yodel. He's a pickup cowboy. Yodel, oh, yeah, yodel,
That's Jonathan Bird and the Pickup Cowboys, with Pickup Cowboy, the title track from Jonathan's latest album, which is already creating lots of buzz, and it's the follow-up to his great 2014 album, You Can't Outrun the Radio. Well, sadly, the release of Pickup Cowboy was delayed for a year because of the sad death of Pickup Cowboy's cellist, Paul Ford. To learn more about the new album, we caught up with Jonathan Bird at home in North Carolina. It's great to be able to talk to you today, Jonathan.
Thanks, Dan.
So the new album is out, and as I mentioned, it's getting lots of great buzz, a lot of people talking about it. It's already riding high on the charts. You must be pretty pleased with the way the album has been received.
Oh, we're really happy with it. We're happy with the way it looks and the way it sounds and that people are enjoying it. And we're happy that we finally got it to fans who were waiting for it for a long time.
Well, I've got to say, it's a lovely packaged album, and certainly I would encourage everybody out there to pick up the CD version of this album. You're going to gain so much more than just listening to it on streaming or as MP3s. There is a lot of love, quite clearly, in this album. A lot of that love is directed to Paul Ford, who is sadly no longer with us. And that must have been a tremendous shock for you and Johnny when it was announced that he had a brain tumor and unfortunately couldn't work with the band anymore.
Well, yeah, and let me address a couple things. Let me say, people come up to the table all the time and they look at this record and they buy it and they'll tell me they don't have a CD player. But it's a beautiful, it's a 64-page booklet. It's almost like a family photo album that we made of our life touring with Paul and otherwise. It's all these beautiful pictures in it. The lyrics are all in there. People who aren't in the band who recorded on the record, like Alexa Dirks and Adrienne Turin in Winnipeg. And Alexa Dirks is now in this great band called Begonia, who's just doing amazing stuff. So the booklet is beautiful. So like you said, even if you're streaming, it's a beautiful thing to have. The other thing that you just talked about that I want to address is Paul Ford. He called in sick. It was the last day of recording on the record, and all his parts were done. He's great. But he called in the morning. He said, you know, I feel like I've got the flu or something. I'm going to go to the doctor today and get checked out. You guys just go ahead and do what you need to do. So by about the end of the day, but maybe 5 o'clock, he called, or his wife called, and she said that Paul had been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and he had to have surgery that night to have the tumor removed. So yeah, that was pretty intense. And also, what a miracle that we got the record by a day. Like we might have never made a record with Paul. It was very close. So that's amazing. But it was really heavy. And Johnny and Paul were best friends since they were maybe 20 years old. So it was really heavy for John. And we stuck pretty close to home for the next year. And Paul lived for about a year and a couple of months. And then there was another year of touring where we didn't really know what to do with the record or how to best put it out. And we spent a lot of time talking about it and thinking about it. And then finally designed this beautiful product that you have. Especially people who saw Paul and saw us with Paul and met Paul are really enjoying the fact that we have this photo album with the music in it.
Well, exactly. And I think that's exactly as it comes across. I remember on one of your tours in Canada, you came through the studio at CFRU in Guelph, and we had a live to air that was lots of fun. But I also gather, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think having worked through this process of how do I deal with this situation? How do we move forward? You've just come off the launch of the new album, which was just a week or two ago, I think, at home. And that really felt like a wonderful evening, didn't it? I mean, I know you talked about it almost felt like Paul was with you.
It was great. You know, there's a violinist. He's a multi-instrumentalist, but he's mostly a violinist who used to be in our band. And his name is Omar Ruiz Lopez. And he got Paul's cello from Paul's widow, Barbara, and learned all of Paul's parts and played the cello for the release party. It was great to hear those parts again and feel almost as if Paul was there with us making that happen.
It's certainly a great tribute to him. And as you say, if you listen to MP3s and you go to a show by Jonathan Bird and the Pickup Cowboys, definitely pick up a copy of this album. It is a wonderful album and a wonderful tribute to Paul Ford. So let's talk about the album itself. 10 tracks, 7 Bird originals, 1 co-write, and 2 songs by fellow singer-songwriter Matt Faulkner, who is really the inspiration behind the title track, Pickup Cowboy, and I think the album generally, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. So Matt is he's a construction worker in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or Montrose, which is a town close to Sioux Falls. And he used to travel a lot with a couple of guys, Emmett and Raybo. Raybo has since passed away. But they traveled. They would come down south in the wintertime. They would go to South Padre Island, in the very bottom of Texas, and they would help people remodel beach houses or do maintenance or whatever in exchange for a place to live. And they would go fishing, and then they would head in the summer, they would head back up to Missouri and Montana and the Dakotas, and they called themselves Gypsy Maintenance. So I met them at the Kerrville Folk Festival in Texas, which is Memorial Day, so it's late May every year. And heard Matt around a campfire, and he was always very shy about playing for people unless it was just his friends. But his songs are amazing, and seasoned songwriters would just be like, "Matt, are you kidding? This is crazy. You're so good. You should get up on stage." And he never wanted to do that. So I learned a couple of his songs, and in fact, I helped make a record of his songs, which we're also going to put out later. And I recorded a couple of his songs because they're so good and they're so meaningful, and I want the world to hear them. And nobody's going to hear them unless somebody else puts them out. So that's what we did.
So this song, the first song, I mean, really talks about the life of this pickup cowboy. Is that the idea?
Yeah, it really captures Matt. So Matt drives a 1964 International Travelall 3/4-ton pickup, and he knows how to keep them running. And he kind of lived that life, this very migratory life, for a while. He's a little more settled now. He has a son. But he would, he knew how to make his life happen, like fishing for breakfast in the muddy Missouri. He would do that. He would fish in the river to get his breakfast, or he would, go out and find a bird to kill for lunch, or so, you know, he was just kind of, he could live off the land in that way. It's austere, but it's also, there's an elegance to it.
Going to say, a life like that also must have given lots of wonderful material for songwriting.
Yeah, sure. It's an authentic lifestyle. Matt is very authentic. And he did inform the album. He even informed our band in a way. Just it became kind of an icon for us. Like, how do we live authentically and present authentically? Why doesn't Matt want to get on stage? What about that is inauthentic for him? And, you know, exploring that kind of character that it takes to, even though people like his songs, he doesn't want to really make a big deal out of it. He just wants to do his work and go fishing and live his life, live his authentic life. So we thought about that a lot, authenticity and how to put that on stage. There's also this aspect of the pickup cowboy that's like, the cowboy is an American icon, but the Hollywood cowboy is kind of hard for me to stomach. There's no laughter, there's no tears, there's no feeling. There's this American myth about the guy who gets the job done without feeling anything. And it's just this rugged individualism, this individual removed from all the things that make us human. And we kind of wanted to bring a different aspect of that to the foreground. The cowboy who does feel things. The cowboy who can express himself. That's what the cowboys really were. I mean, there's lots of cowboy poetry. There's lots of cowboy songs. Cowboys danced. There was a lot of feeling and culture in that culture. And we wanted to bring that aspect to this classic American male icon. And that's what our band was about. And that's what this record is about.
It's interesting you say that, because that's actually a really good lead-in to the next song we're going to play, which I thought should be When the Well Runs Dry, which is a co-write with Charles Humphrey III, which also, I think, talks about, breaks through the mythology of, you know, people working for business, people striving for a living, and the challenges they face, doesn't it?
It's a very simple working man song, and it's kind of an exploration of the boom or bust idiom, and what happens inside that. It's like there's fracking, or there's oil sands or whatever, and a bunch of guys rush in. Guys are flying in from Nova Scotia to go to Alberta to work, and that's not going to last. And everybody kind of has to know that's not a sustainable way to make a living. It's not a sustainable interest. They're actually not even a sustainable way to run the world. And we'll come to the end of that for sure. But it's just an exploration of that from a guy who is inside of it.
Isn't that a sort of common theme in your music? I mean, your music really does connect with the working man. I know on the last album, there was the wonderful song, A Big Truck Brought It, about the fact that, you know, that we are so dependent on things being delivered to us, which, again, you could say a lot of that is probably not very sustainable either.
Not very sustainable, yeah. And Working Offshore was another song on there that I just identify with people like that. I get that. I get that. The ambition and the drive, I understand that. And I identify with that kind of person, and I think they identify with my music as well.
Let's play that just now. This is Jonathan Bird and the Pickup Cowboys, with When the Well Runs Dry from his great new album, Pickup Cowboy. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
It's all lit up like Christmas, and there's a skyline of flame. Metal halide lights up the prairie night all the way out to the plains. Out on the low horizon, the sunrise burns my eyes, shining off of the tankers and let's haul that pipe. We all need the money, babe. I can't lie. Ain't no need to wonder what'll happen when the well runs dry. But this whole town's made of trailers, and the trains run 2 miles long. But some guys phone their money home, or they drink until it's gone. Stars go black and the sun comes back, and it's time to go to work. We all need the money, babe.
That's Jonathan Bird with When the Well Runs Dry from his great new album with the Pickup Cowboys, entitled Pickup Cowboy. Jonathan Bird is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. We're chatting about the album. Now, Jonathan, you mentioned that after Paul Ford's sad death, there was a period of time when you were trying to work out how to move forward. You eventually did move forward by heading to Winnipeg, I think, and then working with some great people up there, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. We were going to tour on the prairies, and Joanna Miller and Alexa Dirksen and Drina Turen. Joanna's a fantastic drummer and musician in Winnipeg. Alexa and Andrina are great singers. And we worked with them on You Can't Outrun the Radio. So we were going through Winnipeg anyway. I said, let's just take the hard drives and book a day at Bedside Studios with Lenny and make that happen and work with those ladies again. So we did that, and that was the icing on the cake of the record.
Did you feel that brought it all back together? I mean, thinking about, you know, Paul's contributions to the album, he basically was done, sadly, when he was diagnosed, but there was an opportunity to be able to say, hey, we're going to bring this all forward, we're going to finish this up, and we're going to put it out to the world.
Oh, yeah, it felt great. And honestly, I feel like we waited even too long. I wish we'd been able to do it a year before. But we got it out now, and it's great. And I'm so glad that we did it. Everything worked out great. It sounds fantastic. John Keane was available to mix it. who I don't know if you know who he is. He's definitely a you know behind the scenes kind of guy, but he's made records for REM and the Indigo Girls and Drive By Truckers, and he has Grammys, and he just doesn't care. He likes to work. So if you can find a time that he's available, you know, he likes my music. So he likes to work with me, and we got him to mix the record. So it's just beautiful all around. The timing all worked out, and the record is beautiful. And we're really, really happy with it. And we think it honors Paul's contribution, as well as the intention of the album.
It certainly sounds great. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So what happens next? You know, you're known as a road warrior. You certainly have spent a lot of your time on the road. I think you're home for a little while. You have a residency at the Kraken, and then you're back on the road again. Tell us how the Pickup Cowboys moving forward are set up.
Well, you know, this thing happened where we really slowed down, and our agent retired. We had to find another agent. And we found somebody who was good, but he wasn't exactly right for us. And we spent a little more time looking for another agent. And in that, during that time, we weren't really on the road that much. And so I went to this little roadhouse that I've driven by twice a day since I was 19 years old. And I never went in there. There'd be like a couple of motorcycles outside. You know, it's a little tin roof shack out in the middle of the country. But I had noticed the past few years that there were real bands on the marquee, that there was a real music scene happening there. So I looked at their schedule, and it looked like they didn't have anything going on Wednesday nights. So I asked them if they would be open to me playing a Wednesday night residency. And I had worked with Kirk maybe 20, 25 years ago. Kirk hung some posters for me and was helping me out when I was just getting started. So Kirk and Jody are the owners. And he said, yeah, let's try it. And we started playing from 7 to 10 every Wednesday, and it's been packed every single week. It's been like the best thing I've ever done in my career. It's amazing. We did the math. A few weeks ago, we did the math. We added up all the money that we've made. And just on Wednesday nights this year, $33,000. Musicians have been paid on Wednesday nights.
No, that's wonderful. And it creates a whole different way of being for you, doesn't it?
It's a community. It's a real community. There's probably 20 people who are there every single Wednesday. And they sing along with every... I don't ever have to say, okay, everybody, sing along. I never have to say that. I never have to say, okay, everybody, clap your hands. Like, they just know what to do and when to do it. And they're so happy to be there. And they make our week every week. If I'm ever having a hard time, I know as soon as I get on stage on a Wednesday night, it's going to be great.
So that's at the Kraken in Chapel Hill in North Carolina. And I presume as we go into 2019, when you're home, you'll be continuing to do this?
Oh, yeah. Well, we told Kirk, he asked us how long we wanted to do it. And we said, well, let's try it for 20 years and see how it works out.
Yeah, that's great. So you'll be heading out on the road again through 2019. What else do you have going on?
Well, yeah, in January and February, we're getting back on the road. But we have some more recordings. We actually have 5 or 6 songs that we recorded with Paul that aren't even on the album. We just recorded them because we were sitting there and was like, hey, let's play some more songs. And now, of course, we're so glad that we had those performances. So we're going to finish that out and maybe add a few songs to it and produce another record in this coming year. I'm working on another book of poetry. I just released a book of poetry last year, my first published work. That's pretty exciting, and I'm working on another one now. Actually, working on 2 more. Working on another book with my friend Rodney Bursell, who's a fantastic wildlife photographer who also shoots rock stars. I guess you could call that a form of wildlife. And I'm writing poetry for a book of wild horses that he shot, the Camargue horses in France, the oldest breed of horses in the world. And he's made all these beautiful pictures, and I'm writing poetry for that as well.
I'm so pleased to hear that, because you are a wonderful writer. Certainly, if you head to jonathanbird.com, you can check out, just follow his blog, is always very interesting, or if you're following Jonathan on Facebook, lots of information there as well. And I think you also mentioned the Matt Faulkner album as well. That will be coming out sometime?
Yep, we're working on that right now. The graphic designer is finishing that up, and I will definitely put the word out when that's done.
Well, it's been great to talk to you today. Remember, Jonathan Bird, you can find him online at jonathanbird.com. I thought we should finish with a Matt Faulkner song, and a very beautiful song, Do You Dream? A nice way to tie up this interview. And I think that was Paul's favorite song, wasn't it?
It was his favorite Matt Faulkner song, that's for sure. And when we made the T-shirts, we made sort of a Mount Rushmore of our faces on the front of the shirt so that Paul's face is right over your heart. And then on the back of the shirt, it has this lyric, which is, do you dream? Do your dreams come true? What do you see? What do you do to make it happen? And that last line was always, Paul would just always turn on that last line. That's what it is. That's what life is all about. You can dream about things. You can have all these great visions, but what are you doing to make it happen? And that's definitely a message that we wanted to get out to the world.
And that's a great way to finish this interview. Jonathan Bird, as always, it's a great pleasure to talk to you today. This is Jonathan Bird with Do You Dream from his wonderful album with the Pickup Cowboys entitled Pickup Cowboy. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. And thanks again, Jonathan.
Thank you.
What do you see? What do you do to make it happen? Do you dream? Do your dreams come true? What do you see? What do you do to make it happen? Well, I called another one. I'll chase one down for you. Oh, we're on another ride. A carnival for a few friends to see things like they should be and stand up on our could be and dream, dream. But do you remember what it was like being a child, not thinking about the hard things, just wide open wild, playing night games in the neighborhood and playing like grown-ups should, dreaming like there's no way you could these days? Well, I called another one. I'll chase one down for you. We're on another ride, a carnival for a few friends, to see things like they should be, and stand up on our could be, and dream, look at the clouds. The fact of the matter, and fair and square, straightforward and honest, you got to dream like you care. No fair to the Midland, my fair weathered friend. Don't fall between two stools, you're the friend of a friend. Falling head over heels like I did for you, and right.
up on our could-be and dream. Dreams come true. What do you see? What do you do to make it happen? Do you dream? Do your dreams come true? What do you see? What do you do to make it happen?